Welcome to Create Your Own Light, where we harness our past, we embrace our future, and learn to conquer the roadblocks along the way together. I'm your host, Travis Howes. Let's get on with it. This episode is brought to you by YourWelder.com. YourWelder.com is an online directory of mobile welders. Whether at your home or at your industrial processing plant, we come to you. Our community of mobile welders can repair anything from the neighbor's mailbox that you just backed into or the cat bulldozer sitting on your job site. YourWelder.com is a directory of highly skilled professionals willing to help you on your job site on your timetable. YourWelder.com screens all of their welders using tools like photos from social media apps such as Instagram, Parler, and Facebook, even face-to-face meetups. YourWelder.com was built by actual industry welding experts who actually perform this type of work on a daily basis. And here's the best part. They're veteran-owned and operated. So go check them out at YourWelder.com. And also feel free to check them out on social media, where I'll include their links in the show notes. Happy whatever day you are listening to this podcast episode day and whatever time, man. I've been away for a month. I unplugged for a month. And like I tell you, I do this every so often. I'll just have to take a step back and punt for a little while. And one, that's not because I'm like slowing down anything that I'm doing. But for two, it's actually to take care of myself. And I took November off. I took December off from touring. And I feel amazing right now. I'm so excited to get back on the road and get back on tour. So for those of you that don't know, my 2024 tour is completely booked up. 2025 is pretty much completely booked up. And we got a bunch of people waiting in the wings holding for 2026 because there's big, really big things are happening behind the scenes. And I'll tell you a little bit about that before I get going on. So as my tour has grown, it has grown outside of my span of control because this has went from teaching in classrooms. I remember the first time I taught was in front of 12 people, right? And I've said that before, to where we're doing full-scale events. And I was one guy running everything. I was running the marketing. I was running the media. I was running any kind of additional promo. I was doing PR stuff. I was doing it all. So now I'm thrilled to tell you over the last 2 months, I've taken my time and through my sphere of influence and my connections, I've been able to bring a couple people on that are helping me out tremendously. And I wish I'd have done this sooner. I wish I'd have done it sooner because I realized that I couldn't put all of my focus on what I needed to focus on, which was writing my second book and which was doing my tour. And because I had so many irons and so many fires. And now that I have a team of people around me, so I've brought on a day-to-day guy who's pretty much the vice president of operations of my company now. And he's running the show behind the scenes. I'll introduce you all to him at some point. I also have a PR firm now that's representing me for anything public relations. That means anything from media requests. That means interviews, all these different things. And the media team, what they do is they work on helping build your brand. And they do that so I can go out and do what I need to do, which was focus on me. And let me tell you something. Since they've come on, it has taken so much off my plate that I have been sitting down and really getting after the second book. And I really think it's going to be, I'm shooting for May of this year because May is Mental Health Month. That's my goal. Last night we got a rough version or a rough draft of the cover that's going to be the new book, and it's going to be something nobody is anticipating coming from me. Like everything that you think that it would be, it is the complete opposite. I'm not releasing the book title yet, just because it's going to be really cool. I have a team of people and it feels amazing. I mean, I'm elated right now. I also have people that are traveling with me to events now to help with my merchandise, because if you've ever been to an event of mine, you know that not only do I go up and speak for 3 hours, I come out and I handle all the merchandise by myself. And those lines, if you've ever stood in those lines, they get really long. And I'm super grateful for the people that have the patience to stand there, because I love shaking your hand. But now I have a team of people that are going to handle the merchandise so I can actually stand off to the side and actually engage with people more. So I'm really excited about that. I'm going to get into telling you about the trajectory of the second book that's coming out, because I feel it's really important for a lot of the people that are listening. If you listen to my, or if you read my first book, Create Your Own Light, that was an introduction to me becoming vulnerable. And I still wasn't there yet. I still wasn't ready to really blow the doors off like I am in the second book. That was 4 years ago that that book came out. And I'm pleased it's still a bestseller. It's still out there hanging in the top, in the bestseller category. So that says a lot in itself. But if you thought you liked that one, hang tight, because this next one, I proofread a section to my wife about me on how I was with our family, and she was bawling her eyes out. And when she was bawling, she looked at me and said, "I feel validated now. I feel like you finally get it." And in turn, that made me a little emotional, because we're not good at really opening up to people. And I thought, man, this book is going to give me that opportunity. And one day when my children are older, I want them to understand who their father was and just how hard he worked to get to where he got to. Okay. So I don't want to give anything away about that section. I'm also giving my wife a chapter in this book to just take the gloves off, not be censored in what she says, not worry about my feelings. I told her, I said, "Look, I want you to tell it like it is. I don't want you to protect me. I want you to tell the world what it was like." Because I feel like if we're truly going to make an impact in the mental health industry, we've got to take the gloves off and we have got to expose this stuff. And it was not pretty, people. And I've had people ask me over the years, "Why didn't you really talk more about your family in your first book?" Honestly, because it was too difficult. I didn't know how to, and I wasn't ready to. And I wasn't ready to expose who I really was during that time. Well, that time is now. And when this book comes out, I truly think if the spouses can get their hands on a copy, it is going to make a tremendous impact in their lives on how they can move forward in a family and keep their family together and make it out to the other side like we have. I'm also writing a very important chapter in my next book called The Roots of Trauma. And what I mean by that is dissecting your family roots and understanding who you are as a human being and what's inside of you because of other people, what other people have put inside of you unknowingly. And I trace a lot of things back. Take my trauma away from me. If you just took all that away from me, and let's say I was never exposed to anything, my grandfather, DC, his name was Donald Calvin Howes, but we called him DC. I don't want to get too in-depth with it because this chapter alone is 40-something pages. It's by far the longest chapter in my book. And right now I'm trying to figure out the placement on where that should go. But this man, with all the stuff that he went through in his life and how he was, which was not good, it got into all of us in my bloodline, every single one of us. We got a piece of him in us. And there are some not so pretty things about that. And it's hard to talk about that stuff. I see it in my children. And the reason I see it in my children, that he never met, by the way, he never met my children. He died 20 years before they were even born. But I see him in them because of what he put in my father and because of what my father passed down to me and how I passed that on to my children. How we react to certain ways, how we view the world in certain ways, how we communicate, and it's not pretty. And the whole goal of that chapter is to get you thinking. You can be the person in your family, if you come from one like mine, or if that's inside of you, you can stop it. And you have to be able to recognize it. And you have to be able to put in the work that it takes to stop infecting your own bloodline. People say that stuff's hereditary. It's not fucking hereditary. It's far from hereditary. It's learned behavior. Because my entire family on my house side of my family is this way. Most of them. And we all have a touch of it. So that's what that is. I'm going to talk about my farm in great detail in this book because I'm out here today. I'm recording and I was out there because we had a couple of big rainstorms come through and I came in to check the pond level. If you keep up with me on social media, the pond that we dug out here, pretty big pond. I'm watching it slowly fill in and it's just an amazing thing to watch as it's the thing is just slowly rising from just a little puddle to this like huge pond. Now it's really cool. And I want to talk about what this place did for my life and the selfish act that I had to do in order to make this happen, because I talk about selfishness in a good way and how we need to be more selfish towards ourselves. I want to talk about the way that I truly feel like I got to a better place in life, which is no magical recipe. There was no magical recipe. There was not any one thing that did it. There were tons of little things. I'm really passionate about helping families. I'm really passionate about stopping this madness that's going on in so many families. And it really all changes with one person in a family. One person has the power to really make a difference. If you just stop and sit back and look at yourself and say, it stops with me. And the growth starts with me. And I get to watch my children grow just like I'm watching this pond fill from a little puddle. I'm watching my children grow beyond where they were headed. And it is an amazing feeling to see the guy that I used to be, what I was doing to my family, how I was impacting them in a negative way, to where they don't even remember that part of me. It's never too late, man. I was watching some NFL show the other day, and Jimmy Johnson, the old Dallas Cowboys head coach, he was giving an interview, and he was talking about how he only stays in things for like 5 years. And the reason is not that he can't keep a job. It's the fact that he pours everything that he has into whatever he's doing for about 5 years. And he does it so hard with so much focus that he really feels like he got the best out of whatever it was that he was doing. So he coached in Oklahoma for 5 years, won national championship, did great. I believe they won a national championship. Went to Miami, coached in Miami, won a national championship. 5 years, he was out. Went to the Dallas Cowboys, won 2 Super Bowls in 5 years, and then he was done. And then so he was going on, as he's an older man now, and he was talking about wanting to feel great at the things that he did, and he feels like he was great at the things that he did, and that's because he feared being good. And he said something that resonated with me. He said, the biggest enemy of great is good. And man, that hit me like a dump truck. I think so many of us have the potential to be great at whatever it is that we want to do, but we settle for good enough. And when we get good at something, that's when we get complacent, and that's when we get arrogant, and that's when we get cocky, and that's what keeps us from being great. Now, that can be a career. That can be you growing as a person. That can be you as a parent. I know I got stagnant for a little while being a father and being a husband. I got to a point where I was like, you know what? I'm a good dad. I'm a good husband. But there came a point where I realized that that wasn't enough, and I realized that I'm a good friend to some people, but it wasn't enough. I want to be fucking great at those things. I want to be a great human being. And I know in order for me to do that, I got to go and get uncomfortable again. And I got to stop being just good enough. And I think that's what translates into what I do now. With my tour with Post-Traumatic Purpose, I go to bed at night seeing where I want this to go. It's all I think about. I'm consumed with it. It's not that I'm consumed with it for vanity reasons. I'm consumed with it because I see the impact that it has on people. I see the growth that it's had so far. And I know we can take it to new levels. And I know that takes community. That takes a togetherness. That takes the support that you all have given me and continue to give me. I'm coming up on Shreveport, Louisiana in a couple days. On the 16th of January, I'll be there. It's the 10th now, so I'm 6 days out. We have 1,300 people registered for this event. 1,300. The registration stopped at like 1,250. No, we have more than 1,300 because we had 100 people on the waiting list. So we might have an additional 100 show up. Think about that. This is a mental health event. 1,300 people don't show up for mental health. 1,300 people don't register for mental health. I remember in the early years when I was doing this, and literally you had 12 people, and the 12 people that were there really didn't want to be there, but they kind of had to go. And that's what it's, this is what I'm talking about. I had a vision. I believed in it. And I went out and did it, but I didn't do it by myself. That was with the help of you all. So I ask you, what's stopping you from doing what you want to do? I can run down this list right now, and we already have multiple, and I'm sorry if this sounds like a promo podcast, but I've been off for 2 months, and I want to tell you what's going on. So Shreveport is sold out. Valparaiso, Indiana just sold out last night. Amboy, Illinois is not sold out yet. We have Amherst, Virginia that is approaching. I think there's like 40 tickets left on that one. Abington, Massachusetts is not only sold out, there's 100 on the waiting list, and we're looking at adding a second event for that one. You got Raleigh, North Carolina. They sold out 300 tickets in 2 hours, and they're adding tickets now, and they're working on a new release date for more tickets as they're working on seating for venues. Okay. We got Philadelphia is sold out. And you've got all these other venues, too, that on the tour schedule that are approaching sellout numbers. So it's insane, man, at what's going on. And I'm super happy with that. Bouncing back to Jimmy Johnson. He had another say, and he said he doesn't really care about looking back about with all the things that he did. He doesn't look back because he worries about QTL, quality of time left. He says, man, I just want to know if I have time to go out today and catch another fish. That's all I give a fuck about. You know, I just watched that cat, and I didn't watch the Cat Williams special. I saw some things on TikTok, and Cat Williams is on there, you know, if you've kept up with this, talking about his life in the business and in comedy and how everybody else has done, you know, all these wonderful things and movies and numbers, and he's kind of talking about from a position of why he didn't get, you know, certain opportunities. I'm not speaking for him, but to me, that's looking back. And if you live in that mindset, that's a very toxic place. You know, we can look back on people that wronged us. We can look back on opportunities that didn't go our way. But when you're looking back behind you, you're running into the obstacles in front of you, and you can't clearly navigate the obstacles in front of you if you're always looking back in life. And I'm trying to be better about that too. I've had some shitty things not happen in my favor. I've had a lot of possible opportunities that, man, were, I'm talking life-changing opportunities that just didn't work out. But I try not to focus on those, because when I do, I realize where that good energy is being spent. And I have too much life in front of me to spend that energy on, and I don't want to waste it behind me. You didn't get promoted? Oh, well. You didn't get the job that you didn't want? Oh, well. Do you know why? Because something better for you is out there anyway. And if you would have gotten that promotion, if you would have gotten the job that you wanted, that would have redirected your life into a different place that you don't know what's coming for you. But what you have right now is nothing but opportunity in front of you. I'm going to mess this up. I heard a story the other day where back in ancient times, this Chinese man was sitting with his son, and I guess the cows started starving, and I know I'm gonna fuck this all up, and they didn't have food for it, and some of the cows died. One of the cows ended up living, and they took that cow and they sold it. They made a little bit of money for something that they needed. They had some money. They lost their money, etc. Then they bought another cow. I am really butchering this story, but I'm gonna give you the idea. Things were not going their way. Let me just say that. Things were not going their way. And then one day, they had this new cow, and it kicked the young son in the leg, broke his fucking leg, and now he couldn't walk, he couldn't move, it was deformed. He wouldn't be able to walk that well for the rest of his life. And his dad was just kind of going with the flow. Well, one day the Mongolian army, whoever it was, rode up. There were thousands of riders. They rode up and they approached this man and his son. And they said, give us your son. We're going off to fight the war and we need all the help that we can get. Give him to us now. And the man looked up and he stood there and he said, my son can't walk. He's deformed. His leg is completely shattered and he'll never walk again. And then those people realized that to them, the boy was useless for their cause. And as they rode off into the sunset that night, the thousands of them, not one of them returned because they were all slaughtered at the next battle. Meaning, all these bad things happened in this man's life and in this boy's life to save that boy. And so he could go on to have a life with his father doing something else. So you can, it's glass half full kind of thing when bad things happen. And I always tell people, you know, when I'm teaching, it's the bad things in life are honestly really what made me. And they're what put my life on a different course and a different path to allow me to arrive where I am, which is at this beautiful life. So I'm hoping that you can slow down when these bad things happen to you, and you can change your perspective on things and allow and welcome change into your life and welcome the adversity that does come, because typically something better is coming. And I want you to think about that QTL, that quality of time left. You going to spend it looking backwards? Or are you going to spend it looking forward, welcoming all the good things that are possibly out there for you? I think one of the biggest challenges for people that are struggling with any kind of like mental health issue or post-traumatic stress issue, depression, anxiety, all this, is that they think that, or they're hoping for an overnight miracle. They don't realize how much time this stuff does take to get to a better place. Unfortunately, many of the things that happen to us, our mind is molded and shaped. And if we don't change the behavior and the way that we see things, nothing changes. There's a saying, nothing changes if nothing changes. So you have to be really willing to go in there and change your entire mindset. And that's not easy. If you don't think your mind is rewired over time and developed from a young age to see the world and see things in a certain way, and especially when you something negative happens to you and you start reacting negatively to situations around you and you never correct that, every time you make a conscious decision to react poorly to something, all it does is reinforces that process. And every time something negative happens, you're going to continue reacting negatively. Your mind is developed and wired and molded from the day that you were born. And if you think I'm bullshitting, watch this. I know in the Marines, I still do things from the Marine Corps that I did when I was 18 years old. When I start walking, I always step with my left foot. Because in the Marine Corps, when you're taught to march, your left foot is the foot that you step off with. I stand up from this table right now where I'm recording from. I will step with my left foot. I don't even realize I'm doing it. I do it. And it doesn't impact my life negatively, so I'm not willing to change it. But I'm just telling you, when I tie my shoes, everything starts with my left foot. To this day, my first sock that I put on is my left foot. The first shoe that I put on is my left foot. My laces on my shoes, I'm looking at them right now, they are laced left over right, because that's what I was taught and that's what was ingrained in my mind. And so I still, to this day, as a 45-year-old man, do things that I did when I was an 18-year-old boy. That's just a simple explanation. So imagine growing up, watching your mother or father react poorly to situations when things don't go their way. I'll tell you one thing that I do to this day. To this day, when I'm working on a house, I cuss more than anybody in the world cusses. Not because I'm mad. Not because, I take that back. I do get pissed off. I actually get very mad when I work on houses. I can go from a great mood to when I'm working on a house, I'm the worst person to be around. My wife will tell you this. You know why? When I grew up, I watched my father. When he worked on things, I watched him throw tools. I watched him get so mad. He would throw tools. I've seen tools stick into fucking sheetrock walls. I remember working with my uncle and my father on cars. When something would get jammed up or they'd get hung up or the wrong tool, I'd watch tools go flying across a garage. I'd watch them go flying across a house with a slew of other cuss words. I'd watch them kick things. What do you think that teaches me? So what do you think? Where do you think that shit comes from? I didn't just wake up like this. Now, my daughters, I try not to let them see me do this. I've watched them work on little things, and guess what I watch? They don't do it because I try my hardest not to do it around them. I'm not saying they don't see it every once in a while, but it's not every time. And I'm conscious of the way that I behave and the way that I speak around them now because their minds still are little sponges. Think about all these little things that we can teach. Think about the good inside of you that you can be teaching your children. And think about when we go to make or take, like just to have a just off the wall reaction to something. Think about how that one reaction is just filling their little brain with just a little something. And the next time you do it, and you don't think it's a big deal the first time. You don't think it's a big deal the second time. But over time, it does become habitual. And that's just the way that you are. Well, inadvertently, they're going to turn into the same exact person. So when we go to react and have reactions to things, think about who's watching. Actually, when you're by yourself, think about who's watching. And if it's nobody, guess what? Change your reaction. Change it because change is hard, but change is good. And the more that you can work on these little things over life, it's just little bitty subtleties, the better you're going to be. There's so many little things that we have to work on if you want to arrive at a better place. Now, everybody's life is different. I'll tell you when mine kind of started was when a long time ago when I decided I'm going to stop watching the news. The news is the most toxic thing a human being can consume. If you consume toxicity, you're going to put out toxicity. That's just the way it's going to be. I have not watched the news in years. The only time you'll see me even looking at the news is when I'm in the gym, if it's on one of the TVs and I'll stop and glance at it or something. The news will not come on at our house. I will not go to it on my phone. I don't fucking care. And that's where it all started for me. I started trying to figure out how do I remove toxicity from my life? Because I'm becoming such a toxic person. That's all I'm putting into the universe is toxicity. And when I started working on that and started really focusing and making a conscious effort to remove toxicity, I noticed massive change in my life. I noticed happiness starting to creep back in. And there I was able to put out a little bit more happiness into the universe. And I was able to put a little bit more happiness into my wife and happiness into my children and happiness into friendships and relationships. And then my life slowly started changing and started growing in a positive direction. I have been driving people crazy on TikTok with a couple of videos that I put out. And what I'm doing is I'm focusing on hypervigilance and how toxic hypervigilance can be. Hypervigilance is one of the most toxic things inside of us, and we don't even realize it. Most of us that do the professions that I speak to, we're programmed for safety. We're programmed to save our lives for our entire shifts while we're working, and to save other people's lives, and to save our partner's lives. So, no, you can't do those jobs without being aware and being hypervigilant. It's impossible. Everybody will be dead. The issue with that is nobody teaches you how to turn that off. You need that for survival on the job. But when we're off duty, do we really need that same level of hypervigilance? Now, before you go into John Rambo mode and start cursing me out from behind a screen, just listen for a second. Listen to this. Most of us will never experience off duty, the things that we experience on duty. Now, I'm not talking about volunteer firefighters and all of that because, yeah, you're still off duty and you go back to calls. I'm talking from a realistic standpoint, when you clock out and you're no longer at the place that you are typically in danger, you are not experiencing that high call volume, if ever experiencing anything like that. But still, that hypervigilance comes home with us. We're always watching, we're always plotting, and we're always planning for the next bad thing to happen every time. We're sitting with our backs to the door. We're not engaging with people at dinner. Even when we're at the beach, we're watching our children swim. We're looking for sharks. We're looking for alligators. We're looking for killer jellyfish. We're waiting for somebody to start drowning. We're waiting for a fucking tsunami to come to the beach and drown everybody. So we're looking for the high points behind us and the tall buildings that we can escape to. We're waiting for a fucking earthquake. And if the damn ground below us is going to open up and everybody's going to fall in, how do I get my people to safety? If this bridge collapses, where do I go right now? If the fucking sky falls, how do I get my family to safety? And it doesn't happen. And that hypervigilance is what I'm trying to educate people on. Be aware, be alert. Don't let your guard down to the point you're stupid. But here's what I'm experiencing on TikTok. You get a lot of people that have to convince themselves that what a fucking hero they are. You get a lot of people that have to convince the rest of the world from behind a keyboard what a hero and what a warrior they are. Let me tell you something right now. A bad motherfucker can sit anywhere in a room because he's a bad motherfucker. He doesn't have to sit with his back to a door and watch the front door. Guess what? When your back is to the wall and you're watching the front door, there's a fucking back door. There's a kitchen. There's a goddamn window. There's a fucking bomb that can come in there. Someone's strapped to someone's chest. And you're not going to do shit anyway. So live in your moments with your family. Enjoy your life with your family. Don't be stupid. Don't put them in harm's way intentionally. But you don't have to live that way. I started living my life the opposite way of all of that. I let go. I completely let go. And I feel like a different man. I was an anxious motherfucker when we were out in public. I wouldn't go in public with my family. I would send my wife out into a dangerous world that I was afraid of because I could not be normal. I couldn't sit there without wanting to harm people. I couldn't sit there without planning all the dangerous things that were going to happen. People would be talking to me, and all I would see was mouths moving because I'm too worried about listening to conversations around me because those could be a plan or a threat, and I needed to know what was going on. I missed out on so much life that I'm embarrassed to say it. I would be invited by people to go places, and I was like, nope, not putting myself in that position. The most ignorant comment that I saw, and so I don't engage on social media anymore. So if you comment at me and all this, don't think that I'm a diva. I don't engage just because I'm not saying you're stupid. There are some stupid motherfuckers out there trying to bait you, and I don't know who's who. I just don't do it. I post, I disengage. I appreciate y'all liking my shit. I appreciate the support, but I'm learning from other people with larger platforms, dude. Don't get roped into that shit. So anyway, I saw a comment one time, and the guy said this. He pretty much called me a clown, which is good, whatever. This guy doesn't know me. He doesn't know anything about me, so whatever. But what he said next was the most ignorant shit I've ever heard. This guy said, "My job as a father is to protect my family and to not have fun. I don't go out to have fun. I go out to protect my family because that's my job." And I'm going to tell you right now, that motherfucker's family, whoever he is fucked up. He has a fucked up family because of who he is and who he's trying to pretend to be. Because I promise you, that motherfucker is a clown. I guarantee you that's the guy who has to convince his family of what a hard ass and what a badass he is all of the time. And when he goes out there, he lives this inflated ego, this alter personality, and he sits in the restaurant with 5 guns strapped to him, waiting for a motherfucker to do something, looking for a problem. And this guy wouldn't be able to find his asshole if he had to in a hurry. I promise you, I know those people. I know who those people are, and those people are a fucking joke. This concludes the Christian portion of my podcast. Don't be that person. Your job as a father, your job as a mother, yeah, it is to protect your people. But it's also to have fun in life and to show them how to have fun and how to enjoy moments and enjoy atmospheres and be social. Human beings are designed to be sociable creatures. And when you have a father that behaves like that, guess what? The roots of trauma, it's the same thing. These kids absorb that. And now they become little fucking morons. And they don't know how to socialize because you got a jackass like that who's teaching them. And I was that guy. I realized, not that guy, but I realized by me not wanting to go places, by me being in fear of how I was going to react to situations, was I was using this as an excuse to stay comfortable in my own home. And what I was doing, yeah, I might have been protecting me, but what's that job that motherfucker said? Our job is to protect our children. Our job is to also protect them from us. Our job is to also not let them become us if we are that person. And I realized I was going to end up showing my daughters what a recluse was and how reclusive I could be. And I was sucking the fun out of their lives. I remember there was a time where they would want to have friends over and I would tell them no because the noises kids would make would really fuck me up. And I realized, Travis, you got to knock this off. You got to let these kids be kids because if you don't, they're going to be socially awkward their entire life and they're not going to really understand true relationships with people. What's that saying? Where when two people are married and they're staying together just for the children and then everybody else always wants to butt in and tell them, oh, your children are seeing that and you can't stay together for the kids. There's some truth to that. You're showing them what love does not look like. You're showing them what's acceptable. When you're yelling at each other, they're learning that. I had a friend that told me one time, he grew up in an environment where the mother yelled at the father yelled at the mother, the aunt yelled at the uncle, and the uncle yelled at the aunt. So that was normal adult behavior to him. And guess what he grew up doing? Yelling at his wife all the time. Think about it. Control your shit, man. Control your reactions. I challenge you, let somebody get under your skin. Let them. Let it happen. Let somebody have the last word. See if you can do that. And when you can do that, that's power. But when you cannot do that, that's weakness. That absolutely is weakness. Next time you get into an argument with your wife or your husband, whoever it is, let them say whatever they need to say. And don't confront it. That is where growth starts. Every time you give an inch to a confrontation, they win. Every single time. Every time you have to be the winner of a disagreement, you're the loser. Every single time you have to be the winner of a disagreement, you are indeed the loser. Let them win the argument. Let them think that. Let them have their moment. Let them gloat. Let them pound their chest and walk away. And when you can start doing that and you can start controlling your reaction, you are the winner every single time. And then if you can control that, guess what else you can control? You can control so many other little things in your life. And you can start tweaking here and tweaking there. And you can start welcoming all the challenges in life as just that. A challenging opportunity for you to become a better person. I'm not saying it's easy because I still have challenges all the time. And sometimes I get very frustrated. But before I get to that level of frustration, one of the things I do is I dial it back a notch. I take a breath and I say, all right, challenge. This is an opportunity for me to grow as a human being and to become a better man. And that's what I want to do. So I'm going to approach you differently than what I'm accustomed to. And that is growth, my friends. I hope you found some substance out of this episode. I know I was kind of all over the place. I'm just getting back on the microphone, but I wanted to get an episode out to you because it has been a month. I think I'm going to focus more on monthly episodes or maybe twice a month. I'm not going to put that pressure on myself to just crank them out like I used to. I mean, we have 120-something episodes, so I'm going to focus more on the things that I enjoy doing in life and work, because there was a point where all I would do was work because I was running from something. I was trying to keep my mind preoccupied, and my family was suffering for that. I was suffering from that, and I don't want to do that anymore. I'm happy where I am these days, and I like it. So thank you all for the support. It means the world to me. Listen, I'm going to run down. Let's see. Go to my website if you want to get on one of these events for the tour schedule that we have coming up. Now, and I do have a major, major, major announcement coming up in 25. Post-traumatic purpose will be going global. That's all I can really say right now. Meaning we're going to be in other countries. So this thing is really taking on a new life. And, we're actually going to be adding more team members here soon. And it's really exciting for all the things that I can't really talk about. It's really exciting because I kind of know what's going on. And that doesn't happen without you all. So thank you so much. But if you want to come to one of the events that are not sold out, go to my website, travishouse.com, and any link that's in red, those are open to the public. The ones that are private are private. So stop messaging me asking how private is the private event. Motherfucker, private is private. How private are your private parts? They're not 70% private, 30% private. They're usually 100% private. Private means private. So other than that, go to the registration link. All the other events you're welcome to come to. And man, I cannot wait to shake y'all's hands. I cannot wait to see you at an event. And I can't wait to get this second book out to you. And I can't wait to release the book cover to hear your thoughts, man. It's going to be really, really cool. It's not a picture of me this time. This is actually, there's been a lot of work put in on this book cover to make sure that it's all encompassing with the title. And so my thought was, when you look at this book cover, I want you to not even have to flip it over and read the description. I want you to know exactly what this book is about. So follow me on Instagram, follow me on TikTok, Facebook, and all that. All right. I appreciate y'all. I love y'all. Y'all have a great day. Thank you so much. Bye.